Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
What a pleasure to have you here with us today here on Home and Family Finance. I am indeed your host, and again, I'm so pleased that you've decided to take a moment or two to join us as we talk about issues that we think are important to you. I always ask that question, are you financially fit? It is an important question that goes to your savings, goes to your attitude, goes to how you conduct your financial business that affects you and your home and your family. The whole show, my concept is based on being financially literate. We need to do a better job of teaching everyone how to be strong consumers, aware consumers, and understand how our system works and what you can do to make it work for you. That's the whole idea, folks, and we hope that you are starting to get that and that you are making the kind of decisions that will have a positive impact on your home, your family, and your finances. Part of that is going to be education. And, of course, we all understand that. I think most of us do. But we don't plan so well for education. We don't save when we want to get our kids into college. And so as a result, we've built up some irreparable damage in terms of debt. Over $1 trillion in debt that we straddle our kids with. We saddle them up. They come out of college and those that go, and they owe tons of money. Just so much money. But as an old broadcaster used to say, and those of you old enough to remember will remember, there's a gentleman by the name of Gabriel Heater, and he used to come on the radio much before most of your time. But my granddad loved him, and I would sit there by the radio and listen to Gabriel say, there's good news tonight. And indeed, when it comes to savings, there is good news, because a recent survey by the College Saving Foundation shows that we are now back again to a form of savings, in this case through a program and the 529 College Savings Program. But also, in general, we are saving money. We're putting money away. And that's good news to the College Savings Chair, Mary Morris, who joins us to talk about their survey and what they have what they found out in their most recent survey as we celebrate the month of college savings and prepare our kids for a quality education through getting them into college. Mary, welcome to Home and Family Finance. I know you're up in New York, but you're taking time for your busy schedule to talk about this. This is good news, isn't it?
It is good news. In fact, I'm in New York for a College Savings Foundation meeting, so it's very appropriate. And we've been talking about College Savings Month, which September is, and a survey. And so it's great. Great to be with you.
Well, I think it's just so important that we congratulate ourselves when we're doing good, because for the last few years, our decision to save took a tumble. And now I'm beginning to hear from a number of different sources that we are once again starting to save money, put something away for that so-called rainy day. In this case, the cost of a college education can be sky high. And yet your foundation, through his survey, found some very interesting information. I love the fact that 72% of children have accumulated savings for college. That's a great number.
It really is a great number. And, you know, what we also find is that it's not just the parents who are saving for their kids, but the kids are saving. And, you know, the younger people understand that they have some responsibility themselves to help pay for their college education. They understand that it's important to get some kind of higher education, whatever that means. You know, it's not necessarily just the traditional bricks and mortar four-year school. We think community colleges are a great way to start and keep your cost of education down. There are training programs, and you can use 529 college savings plans, and that's what we're sort of all about, is providing families a tax-advantaged way to save for higher education. It also supports that great concept of saving generally, as you said. And, you know, I have the privilege of being the chairman of the College Savings Foundation, which is a group of organizations. You know, every state runs a 529 plan. college savings plan. And so this is kind of a consortium of members. I have the privilege of running the Virginia 529 College Savings Plan for my day job, along with what I do with the College Savings Foundation. And the foundation really puts a spotlight, a national spotlight, on savings. And through our surveys, it lets people see, it helps. And when you put that word out, when parents say, wow, 72%, I need to get on the bandwagon. I need to do that. I need to do more to plan for the future. So we think that the trend is great, and a lot of our job is to, when you mentioned financial literacy in the beginning, a lot of what we do in our individual states and through the College Savings Foundation is talk about financial literacy generally, the importance of planning and saving, and then particularly saving for higher education.
And I think it's just so that we break this down so everybody understands what has happened here. 72% is a tremendous number. Of that number, 44% of you are utilizing the 529 college savings plans in whatever state you're in. Now, I think it should be higher than that. That means 34% of you are just saving. And congratulations to you for just making sure that you're saving for college. But you can also, and Mary will be the first one to tell you, is you probably can do an even better job because it's a tax saving. Savings involved in here as well if you do use those college savings plans, right?
Right. There are other ways to save for college, personally. I mean, it's what I do for a living, and I'm pretty passionate about it. So I think that 529s are the best way to plan for college. You know, one thing is that it's like retirement saving. You know, when you dedicate it and you say, this is what this bucket is for, it's kind of locked away. Yes, you can get it out, but there you have to pay tax on the gain when you pull it out if you don't use it for qualified higher education expenses, and there's a potential penalty. But, it's really pretty flexible, and the genius of 529 plans is that they grow tax-free, completely tax-free, federal and state taxes, and are never taxed as long as you use them for qualified higher education expenses. And again, that's a pretty broad array of things that you can spend the funds for. There's no other benefit like that. You know, retirement savings don't have that. You should not have any tax ever. And then 36 states, I think it is, offer some kind of tax advantage at the state level for contributions to your 529 plan.
All right, I'm talking with Mary Morris. When we come back, we're going to tell you a little bit more about the various, there's a variety out there, and also about the importance of this even beyond, what happens if you decide to use it otherwise. Mary will tell you what happens then. This is Home and Family Finance. You're on Radio America. I'm Paul Berry. We'll be right back.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're congratulating you out there for the fact that you are saving at a high rate. 72% of you are saving for your child's or your grandchild's or your friend's child education. And many of you are using the college savings program set up just for that purpose. And I can't imagine why more of you are not. There are 28% of you, according to the survey done by the College Savings Foundation, that are not saving. Mary G. Morris is the chair of the College Savings Foundation. It is the leading nonprofit helping American families save for college. She's also chief executive officer of the Virginia 529 College Savings Plan. Now, the Virginia, each state has its own savings plan. It works pretty much the same. The biggest benefit is that you save tax dollars if you save through the plan. But Mary, there are other advantages of doing this. Please explain not only the other advantages, but every state operates in a little different way, right?
Sure, exactly. So different states have different kinds of programs. As I said, every state, with the exception of Wyoming, but they go together with Colorado to offer something for their citizens, offer a savings kind of a program. There are a number of states, and Virginia is one. I think there are 12 states that have a prepaid program, which is a little bit different kind of a program. Not everyone has that. And the savings programs, the investment options are different. But all of them offer a range of, let's say, target date funds. So if you want to put some money in and invest it a little bit more aggressively when your kids are older, that investment will gradually become more conservative and, i.e., hopefully less volatile, less subject to risk of loss as your child approaches college age. So there's a wide variety of options open, and people can go to any state's programs. That's sort of a misconception. Look to your state first. We always think that's a good idea because there are some specific state tax advantages in certain states. So I think it's 36 states offer a tax advantage. It's a deduction or credit for state income tax purposes for your contributions to often to your state's plan. So you want to take a look at that. Some states it can be different rules, but every state offers, I think, a quality program and provides an opportunity to families to plan and save. And the programs do a lot on the education front. You know, so a lot of our mission is to inform families about the importance of higher education, you know, what that does for you in the future for you and your kids, and how to use these programs and how to plan and to save.
And Mary, if I hear you correctly, if I live in Ohio and I like to plan in California or Wisconsin or New York, I can use that plan even though I'm not living in state. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
And you see a lot of that. So, yeah, absolutely. Just take a look and see what plan works best for you. You want to look at the investment options. You want to see what the fees are that are charged, you know, what the returns been on the investments. So there's a great way to do that. You know, one of our sort of sister organizations, the College Savings Plans Network to the College Savings Foundation, has a great planning tool on their website, collegesavings.org. And the College Savings Foundation is College Savings Foundation. org. There's a lot of great information on both websites, but it is the CSPN website that has a comparison tool for families to look at and see what really works for them. What are the tax advantages, the investment offerings, the fees, and all of that. So a little bit of research online will give you a ton of information about Tax Advantage 529 program.
Absolutely, folks. I can't imagine why the 30% of you who are not saving, I can't imagine why you're not at least taking a good, strong, solid look at this. Maybe you don't have the money. I understand that. But at some point, you should try to avoid strapping your child coming out of college with enormous debt. Right now, it's over $1 trillion. Not a B, I'm saying a T, $1 trillion of debt. We can do better, and we must do better. That's why Mary Morris is in the game. That's why she's on the program. And when we come back, we'll talk more about the plan and also what are the alternatives for those who don't go to college, even if you started saving. This is Home and Family Finance. You're listening to Paul Berry, and I'm glad to be with you. You're listening to Home and Family Finance on Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. We're talking with Mary Morris today, Mary G. Morris, chair of the College Savings Foundation. And if you don't know what that is, folks, then pay close attention, because if you've got a kid or a grandchild, or you know someone else who has a kid and wants to send them to college, this is a way of savings, putting a savings aside with a tax advantage, no question about it. We're brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, and we thank them for their continued support of this program dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. We're also brought to you by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. And again, they care about financial literacy because we know you should be caring. And if there's a topic or subject you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or you may contact me on my website at hffradio.com. Speaking of the Defense Credit Union Council, its members – credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of military saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops, those out protecting us. And part of what the Defense Credit Union Council does is protect them and their financial readiness. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, to support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves believes acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And, of course, you don't have to be in the military to save. Saving is something all of us should be doing. And that's what Mary Morris is in New York to talk about, savings, through her program or the program that she is head of. And that's the College Savings Foundation. Mary, we encourage people to do this. Obviously, we encourage them to, you know, we never know what Johnny or little Mary are going to become, but we know they're going to want to go to college, or so we think they will. And so we start to plan at age 5 or 4 or 3 or whenever. And so they go through the process. But it becomes obvious to us at some point, Mary, that little Johnny ain't going to make it in college for whatever reasons. But we've got all this money saved up. So what happens to it? Do we get penalized? How can we use the funding? Can we direct it in a different direction? Tell me how I deal with that.
Yes. I mean, there is that potential, but we find, by and large, families find ways to use those funds for the purposes intended. So one, you do have some pretty flexible transferability. If you have a sibling, and we'll find some families will just save the oldest child, and then they see what happens, and, you know, if that child either doesn't go to college or gets a scholarship, you know, that can work also.
Sure.
And there aren't any penalties. If the child gets a scholarship or suffers a disability or, you know, God forbid, death, there aren't any penalties on taking the money out. But if they're not used for qualified higher education expenses, there can be. But you can transfer to siblings. You can transfer up to yourself. We found during the recession that some families, you know, use it for retraining. And so that's the other misconception. A 529 program can be used for all kinds of training programs. So Johnny may not want to go to a 4-year school, but there may be some, you know, mechanics training school that qualifies. It has to be an eligible educational institution. Mm-hmm. Qualify for federal financial aid. But there are a lot of those. There are many wonderful technical training programs at community colleges all over the country, and you can use your 529 for that. So, you know, don't assume that if you, you know, you don't have a rocket scientist in the family that they can't use a 529. It may be even more important for those kids. And again, remember, adults can use them. You can use them at any time. We are finding with our survey that families are starting earlier, which is great because it's not expensive to get started. That's the other misconception. You can open an account in most states for $25 and save when you can. Get grandma and grandpa, aunts, uncles, friends to contribute at appropriate times, birthdays, Christmas, Hanukkah, whatever.
Okay.
And that builds up your account. And if you start early, it really can make a difference over the long haul. Save routinely every month, $10 a month over 18 years. You know, you've really done something.
It's a great gift, too, isn't it, Mary? If you can offer this as a gift to your family member or to your friend, the children of your friends.
It is terrific, and we're really finding, and again, some of our surveys, millennials in particular, the younger generation, are much smarter in many ways, I think, than their baby boomer parents about saving and about planning. You know, they've been through the recession. They sort of get it, and they're willing to defer gratification. They're willing to save, and they're willing to ask for help. You know, they'll throw it out there on Facebook or social media and say, hey, my 2-year-old
give me a help.
Give me, you know, I've got a 529 account. Please put money in. And a lot of states are building gifting platforms and making it easier for families to do that.
Mary, thank you so much. We like you. Come back and see us again. Let's talk about this again, would you?
Love to. Absolutely.
Okay. Mary Morris, my guest. Coming up, are you still subscribing to cable? Really? Why? Find out.
You be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
Safe and secure with your finances. Folks, that's what this is all about. And the best way to do it is to be up to speed, educated on what's happening in your world. I will bet you a dollar to a donut that you haven't thought about what this business between, say, AT&T and DirecTV mean for you. What is it possibly going to mean for you? The first thing I'm going to tell you it's going to mean for you is that you're behind the time. These folks are getting together, and the technology has passed is past what you think and what I think. You now are going to have the capability of taking your cell phone and watching a TV show wherever you are. It's called the mobility of I've got the guest who can tell you what's happening, and it's Kiplinger's personal finance associate editor is Lisa Gerstner. She's been on the show before. She's just got a recent article about what's happening. And the question they start, are you still subscribing to cable? If you are, it means that you may be well behind the times. Lisa, welcome. Nice to have you on the program.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You know, this is happening pretty fast, isn't it? The technology changes are going faster, I think, than we can keep up with it. Is that a fair statement?
I think so. I think it's hard to keep up. There's just so much happening. There's constantly new ways to stream things over the web to your TV, and you can completely skip the cable or even the antenna, although I think an antenna is a great idea. It can be hard to keep up.
And here's another notice, folks. OTA. Over the air. Somebody said it was dying. I think the death is premature. It's making a comeback. It's involved in all of this process in terms of what's available to us now. Is that right?
I think so. I think there's being, you know, a little bit of a comeback with over the air and getting an antenna because people are realizing, you know, I can cut out the cable. I can get CBS and ABC and Fox and all those over the air networks for free. And all I have to do is invest, you know, even just $8 in a pair of rabbit ears if you're close enough to a transmitter. Sometimes a little more if you want to get a rooftop antenna. I think a lot of people are realizing that this is still a great way to do it. And actually, the picture is even better often with an antenna than with cable because of the way they compress things through cable. So it's really kind of a win-win that way.
Absolutely, folks. And I can tell you from personal experience that where I live, I can get one city. I live between two big cities. Because I'm in the ADI of one city, I am not allowed by cable or through my cable to pick up the other city that I really enjoy. So what did I do? I had put an antenna up thinking that, okay, to make sure. Lisa, you're absolutely correct. I get a better picture on the antenna from the other city than I did through my cable system. So it's an option that people should look at.
Yeah, most definitely, especially if you want to watch football on a Sunday. If you can catch the right teams on your antenna, it'll be great.
Let's talk about the options, because if I cut cable, what are the alternatives to cable? Maybe I'm one of those who not sure I really understand why it is an alternative. Explain that for us, would you please?
Sure. Well, we talked about the antenna. There's also a lot of ways that you can kind of stream things from the web straight to your TV. I think one of the most interesting and promising ones right now is Sling TV. It's actually owned by Dish, so it is, you know, part of a satellite Dish network,
right.
So it's still part of that whole deal. But it's only $20 a month. It's all online, and you get a lot of really popular channels. A big one is ESPN. There was really no way before to get ESPN without having a cable package, so that's a breakthrough. You can also get AMC, HGTV, the Food Network. It's really a nice compilation of popular channels that you can get. And, you know, you can watch on your device, or you can stream it straight to your TV with things like the Roku streaming box or the Amazon Fire TV. So I think that's a really good one for cable cutters to consider first.
Okay. I think you're going to think that I'm a real caveman when I say this to you. But I thought that Netflix, HBO, Go, Hulu, Amazon Prime, and Sling, I thought those were all cable. They're not cable?
No, those are they're kind of like on-demand, is the ones you mentioned. So like Netflix and Amazon Prime and all of those. Those are ones where you just kind of reach into, you know, a package of things that are already there for you, movies and old TV shows and things like that. So those are outside kind of the cable spectrum.
So I don't need cable so I can get Netflix without a cable?
Yeah, most definitely.
That's what I don't understand. I mean, I thought that you had to have cable to pick up. It just shows you my generation. So so these come in what, through Wi-Fi or through satellite,
right?
Or what?
Yep, it's just the same. It comes in over, you can use it on your Wi-Fi over the internet. So all of these are kind of internet-based. So as long as you have like a good broadband network at home, you'll be able to get them. No cable package required. So Netflix, for example, it's $9 a month. You subscribe directly to Netflix. You just go in. Similar to with Sling, you can get a streaming box like the Roku or the Amazon Fire or any number of those kinds of boxes and put it directly on your TV. And, you can just watch it right there on demand. And it's totally outside had the cable.
So why do I need cable, Lisa? And we're talking, by the way, with a lady that knows a thing or two. She's Kiplinger's personal finance associate editor, Lisa Gerstner, joining us here to talk about this cable versus everything else out there. When I come back, let's take a break. And when I come back, I want you to tell me why I need cable, or do I need cable, or do I need, is it a matter of association? And then I also want to explain what the DirecTV and AT&T merger means as well. This is Home and Family Finance. You're listening to Radio America. We'll be right back with more.
You to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
We're very pleased to have as our guest Kiplinger's personal finance associate editor, Lisa Gerstner. She's no stranger here. Her article in this month's Kiplinger editorial is about, are you still really subscribing to cable? And you might, some of us might say, what do you mean? Is that the latest? Well, folks, let me assure you, that isn't the latest. It's out there. And it's cable. Cable is there, but can you cut the cord and not lose anything? Lisa, where are we in all of this? So kind of put this together for us, would you please?
Sure. So I think you kind of have to look at your own personal situation and deciding whether you should cut cable. You know, if you really watch a lot of channels and you get a lot of value out of that, then cable is probably worth keeping. You may not be able to compile enough other alternatives at a reasonable price to be able to make it worthwhile. So just kind of think about what are your must-haves, you know, what kind of channels do you really watch a lot, and then kind of look at your other options and see, you know, can I fill this in and not be paying more than I am for cable right now. So first of all, kind of do that math equation and see if it's worth it for you.
Okay, and the point, the other players are also throwing their hat into the ring. Apple TV, which I didn't know existed, is expected to be coming out with a streaming service, and that offers some 25 channels. Is that a pretty good deal?
That one's still a little vague. Apple's been kind of tight-lipped about that in a lot of its rumors right now.
Okay.
But it could be interesting, you know, to see what kind of things they come out with. Will it be mostly cable channels? Will it be network channels over the air? We're kind of waiting to see on that one. But, you know, Apple, they're always coming out with something interesting.
Absolutely. So. Lisa, cable companies are getting into the streaming act here. I mean, they seem to be taking the position, we can't be fish or fowl. We've got to be both. I mean, we're going to do everything. So everybody's jumping into the game to make sure they get their fair share of the dollar.
Exactly. You know, we're seeing Comcast. Comcast is a huge company. They're coming out with something called Stream, which, not surprisingly, is about streaming over the web. So it's going to be several, mostly network channels that will be included on there. So it would actually be things you could get over the air, but you can do it over the web. So maybe it's more convenient to watch on your devices. So they're getting in the business. As I had mentioned, Sling TV is owned by Dish. So they're making all the money there, too. So I think they've realized, you know, we need to get in the game here. We're going to lose out.
Okay. And here's the court. Look, I think most people feel like I do. I don't care where it comes from. I just want quality. I want it all, and I want to save money. And if I come to you and say, Lisa, where do I go to get that? Your answer would be?
I think that even these offerings from the cable companies, yes, I think Sling TV is a great deal. Now, there are some others that, you know, for example, PlayStation is now streaming many cable channels, you know, 50 to 85, depending on what package you get through the PlayStation. But that's $50 to $70 a month. And to me, that's, well, you're going to be paying that for cable. So I'm not sure if that's a great deal or not.
Yeah.
So really, again, it kind of depends on what you want. If it's going to be cheaper for you than cable, then it's a good deal.
Okay, here's what I got. I got DirecTV, okay? And I'm paying $105.06 a month for the service. And it's not the full package, but it's a package of stuff. Can I do better than that?
Oh, most definitely. Depending on what you want to watch, you could even pull together several things. So if you got Sling, say, for $20 and Netflix for $9, maybe you want to get HBO has a standalone package now. You don't have to have cable to get HBO on demand. And that's $15 a month typically. So if you got those things, you would still come in well under $100.
Wow. Folks, by the way, this is Lisa Gerstner. She is Kiplinger's personal finance associate editor. Her full article, you can find it at www.kiplinger.com /article/spending/TO57-C. Oh, listen, you don't have to worry about it. If you get that far, it'll fill it out, and you can go in there and you can have a look at this. Because, look, we're throwing a lot at you right now, and you're saying, wow, but how do I, you know, how do I figure this out? And that's a question I put to you, Lisa. How do you figure this out? Is there some place you can go to, someone you can go to, or do you just have to experiment or turn to your kids?
I think it's a little of both. As you mentioned, if you go to the article online, there's also a nice chart that accompanies the article. So I don't think it's on the main page that you mentioned, but if you click on one of the links, we kind of listed out all these different things. I've been talking about, like, Sling and HBO and Netflix, and we kind of listed the price, the pros, the cons, what kind of devices you can stream them to. And I think that kind of helps clear it up a little bit, you know, instead of throwing a whole lot of names at you and numbers. And yeah, like you said, you know, ask your kids, ask people who have already tried it to see if they like it, if the programs are working well for them. And, you know, asking around is always a good idea.
And I think our requirements have changed, haven't they? We want stuff when we want to hear it, not when it's offered. But we want to say, I want to listen to this when I want to listen to that. I don't want to be told that I've got to turn on at 8 o'clock on Wednesday to hear a program. And today, those options are available to us, right?
Oh, yes. You know, a large portion of that chart I mentioned is simply on-demand things. As I mentioned, HBO's package for $15 a month, it's not live per se, but things will appear at the same time as most of the shows do on HBO, so you can still watch them in real time. Or you can go in a few days later and watch them, kind of like having a DVR. Showtime is doing something very similar. It's $11 a month, and, you know, it's almost the same thing. It's on-demand. They do have a couple of live streams with a couple of their channels, but for the most part, you just go in, you pick out what you want. Netflix, again, it's mostly older content. You're not going to get, you know, current season TV shows on Netflix or Amazon Prime, but you can go back, you know, binge watch is what they call it, old episodes of Breaking Bad or Downton Abbey or whatever pleases you.
So you don't have to, if you may miss it when it's broadcast or when it's carried, but you don't have to miss anything today. I mean, you're almost anything is available to you on demand if you have the right equipment to pull it in.
Exactly. And even, you know, I've been mentioning a lot of subscription-based services where you have to pay a monthly fee for them.
Right.
But there are even ones where you can just go buy things a la carte. So like the Google Play Store, iTunes, those are a couple examples of where you can go do that. Just buy a single episode of a show even, if you can't find it anywhere else, for about $2. Watch it on your computer or watch it on your TV, however you want. And it's pretty reasonable to do it that way too.
Mm-hmm. I guess people are starting to recognize that these changes are taking place. But suppose I've got a 2-year contract with DirecTV or with Dish or whatever. What happens? Is it worth it to just cut the cable and say, you know, I'll take the penalty and get out of it, or what?
Yeah, I think that's another case where you got to do the math. A lot of times there is an early termination fee if you want to cut out your contract. So.
Yeah.
Often it's prorated, so if you're near the end anyway, it may be worth it. Maybe it's only $50 by the time you're getting close to the end of it, and you'll easily save $50 a month. But even if it's higher, see how much it's going to cost you per month to, you know, put together some of these streaming options,
right,
and a free antenna, and then weigh it out.
Do the math and figure out if it's if you're either going to break even or save money, but going to get a lot more to see and listen to, then it's probably worth it, right?
Yeah, and one other thing I would mention is figure out what you're going to be paying for internet. I think a lot of people are kind of rudely surprised when they have a bundled package. Maybe they have a cable and internet package.
Right.
And it cuts off. You know, your rate shoots up, and then suddenly you're paying $80 just for internet.
Okay.
So think about that, too.
Okay. Lisa Gerstner is my guest. When we come back, we'll find out what this DirecTV ATT merger really means to you. And talk about some other stuff here that you should know about. Saving money, the name of the game. We'll be right back. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, as we take you through with Lisa Gerstner the options that are now available to you as a television or media consumer things that years ago were not available. They are now, and it's worth looking at, because even though you think you're up to speed and you got that cable thing going, as Lisa points out, given the options that are available to you, you may want to cut cable. And in so doing, you reduce your monthly expenses but increase your options of what's available to you. Lisa, that's pretty exciting stuff. And I know that because I do have DirecTV and I do my service is AT&T, I'm being flooded now with suggestions about what's capable and what's going to happen here. What does this merger between these two giants, what does it really mean to consumers out there?
Well, I think just like you said, it can mean more options. I think we do tend to get a little jittery when we hear about big mergers between large companies, and we worry about competition, and that's a concern. But at the same time, you can get a lot more because of these kind of deep backgrounds they have in technology and what they can kind of put together there for you. So I think at the end of the day, it could really be a plus.
Here's one of the things they're suggesting. Is that that there's a device now, and I don't know if you know about it, and you probably do, where I can put it into my house, and I can come home, and I can either watch whatever I have on my iPhone, I can switch it automatically to my television screen. What are you talking about? What's going on? What is going on, Lisa?
Yeah, there's so many new ways that you can do things like that now. I have something called the Chromecast, which is it's like a little plug-in you kind of put directly into your TV. It's the size of a thumb drive, so it's very small. And I can just play what's on my phone on the TV, even if it's like just an internet web page, but it can also be something streaming on my phone or my computer. So there's just so many different ways you can do it now. You can really pick what's most convenient for me or what's most user-friendly to me.
That's fascinating stuff. I mean, because just when you think, and I think I speak for a lot of people, just when you think you're caught up here, you understand what's going on, it changes. All of a sudden, these options and those options and more and more. In your Kiplinger crystal ball, what do you see in the future here in terms of how we will be impacted by media offerings and the technology that is associated with it?
Sure. Well, I hope we'll continue moving in a positive direction and that it'll stay, at a good price for us. But you never know. I've also seen concerns that kind of this unbundling of cable could result in more fees or, a higher price at the end of the day. People like the idea of having, say, a la carte channels where you just buy ESPN and you just buy AMC and you pick the ones you want. But that could be more expensive at the end of the day, depending on how they do it. They kind of use the airlines as an example of that, where, some of these airlines that, maybe they charge a lower fare, but you're going to pay out the nose for everything else. So you got to kind of be careful.
Yeah, there can be fees associated with it. I mean, obviously, every one of these companies is in business to make money, so nobody's just giving it away. They're going to take every advantage that they can to make as much as they can, and that's the American way. I get that, but I guess the question I should ask you then is, how do I protect myself and be prepared to move into the 21st century here?
Sure. Yeah. Again, I think it's just all about being educated, all about considering all your options and making sure that you know what you're going to be paying, making sure you know all those components, as I'd mentioned, your internet bill plus the different streaming options you might be getting. Just make sure you know that you're getting the best deal.
Okay, and the reception devices, I mean, the TV, I guess I need a TV, I guess I need a cell phone or an iPhone or whatever. I mean, I guess that's the other thing I have to listen to, too. How do I receive all of this information, right?
Right. There's a lot of different ways now. Sometimes your TV set itself will already have apps. So if you buy what they call a smart TV, which I think many of them are now with what they're selling, you'll already have like a Netflix app or an Amazon Instant Video app built into the TV, so you don't even have to buy any other devices to watch it on there. But otherwise, many Blu-ray players come with them. Many video gaming consoles like the Wii or the PlayStation or the Xbox come with those capabilities. Or you can buy a dedicated device. So one of the really popular ones is the Roku. Mm-hmm. It comes with pretty much anything you'd want to stream. All those channels are available. That's a good one. Amazon has one. Apple has one. So it's almost just about what you prefer, what kind of atmosphere you prefer to be in.
It's fabulous stuff. Lisa, thank you so much for taking time. I know you're out there on the West Coast, and I appreciate you getting up a little early to join us. And please, you're always welcome here, okay?
Thanks so much.
Absolutely. Kiplinger's Personal Finance Associate Editor, Lisa Gerstner. You can go to kipler.com and read more. And folks, you know, you can save money, but you got to be very careful. Thanks so much for being with us, and we'll see you again soon, Lisa. Thank you. All right, folks, as always, a pleasure to have you with me here on Home and Family Finance. We try to make it interesting. We try to keep you up to date. We try to make you aware of what's happening out there in your world. Become an informed, educated consumer, and don't be afraid to ask questions. That's where it counts. See you next week.